In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So Jesus has reached the age of 12. And 12 is a dividing point for a young Jewish man at this time. He's leaving childhood and entering into manhood. And according to the custom, it was at this time that Christ would have become subject to the law. Now, this is interesting because we have Christ who is both divine and human. Divine, he is the lawgiver. But human, he becomes subject to the law. So in this his 12th year, his family has traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now, as was custom in the days, they traveled in large groups. This gave them safety, their safety in numbers. And so they had traveled probably with family and friends from the local village where they lived. And now they're returning. How did he get separated? Well, some think that it was because of the way in which the groups traveled. The women would leave first in the day because the women usually traveled slower. The men would pack up and bring the things with them, and they would meet towards the end of the day after a day's journey. So Jesus, being 12, he's at that stage where he's leaving childhood and entering into manhood. Perhaps Joseph thought he's still with the women and children. Perhaps Mary thought, surely now he's with the men. But he goes missing. When they find him, he's in the temple. Now there's another custom that following Passover, since they've all gathered in Jerusalem, and it was common, it was required, that anyone within 15 miles of Jerusalem had to come. Those further away were required to come once in a lifetime to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. Following the celebrations of Passover, the Sanhedrin would meet to discuss theological questions. So this is where Jesus is. He is gathered with the Sanhedrin, and he is speaking to the other leaders of the Jewish community about theological issues. And Scripture tells us they were all amazed. They were all amazed at his wisdom and his understanding. His mother and father arrive, and Mary says, "Son, why have you done this to us?" What has he done? Certainly he's caused them some anxiety. They're looking for him. They want to know what happened to him. But he's done something else too, which may be more of the issue here. He's now separated Mary, Joseph, and himself from the safety of the large group. So now Mary, Joseph, and Jesus will travel by themselves back to Nazareth. So that may be what Mary is getting at here, but he's caused them a little bit of anxiety. He's caused them to be separated from their group. Jesus' response is quite telling. He says, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Now here, Mary has addressed him and said, "Your Father and I." She's referring to Saint Joseph. His response is, "My Father's business," referring to God. This is one of the first indications in Scripture where he is giving us this insight, this revelation that truly he is the Son of God, incarnate of the Father in flesh. And then the Scripture goes on to say, he went back with them to Nazareth. And in this translation, it says, he was subject to them. In other translations, it says he was obedient to them. Now, this is a mystery for us, because Christ is divine. And in all rights, he is the lawgiver. But the lawgiver has subjected himself to obedience to his human mother and adoptive father. This is a sign of great humility and humbleness that the God of all creation has subjected himself to Mary and Joseph. What does that tell us? What does that speak to us? We might recall a scripture where Christ says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." He calls all of us to obedience. And here we must keep in mind that he doesn't desire our obedience out of fear. He desires our obedience, which comes from the love that we have for him in our hearts. That we're to love him more than ourselves, more than anything else on this earth, and that our obedience to him is because we love him so much. We all also must keep in mind that as we walk through this path of life, that there will be temptation. There will be many times when we're tempted. Some might have a weakness for chocolate cake. Well, there's no sin in desiring a piece of chocolate cake. The sin comes in when we abuse what he has given to us. So if we take the cake and we eat the whole cake, we've abused the gift. In the same way, we may be tempted to speed when we're driving. Again, we can resist the temptation. If we give in, we abuse the privilege that we've been given to drive. So these things come at us. They tempt us. There are other things. Maybe we're tempted to gossip, or we're tempted to slander someone. Obedience calls us to resist the temptation, but not to lose heart, because temptation itself is not sin. We will have many temptations in this lifetime. We must be strong. We must remain obedient to Christ, as Christ was obedient even to Mary and Joseph in his childhood. May our Lord instill within our hearts a fervent love for him that will drive us to be obedient in all things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.